Hi, I'm Siobhan Fletcher and welcome to the latest edition of our newscast. Now, the Justice and Home Affairs Minister says the new Sexual Offences and Obscene Publications Act 2021 is to be reviewed as planned imminently. The legislation has been in operation for around 18 months after it was switched on in March last year. But the conversation around sentences for those convicted of child sexual offences reignited last week, with calls from some for a national inquiry into the topic. It was after a response sent to Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby from the Chief Minister was shared on social media. She told Manx Radio she contacted Mr Cannon after hearing from numerous constituents who are deeply distressed by the recent sentencing outcomes for child sex offences handed down by the Isle of Man courts. She said the consistent message was clear, and that was that the current sentencing guidelines are far too lenient. Now, one recent example of a case which many highlighted on social media, as reported by BBC Isle of Man, was that of 80-year-old Douglas man Paul Sidney Weissel. He was jailed earlier this month for 12 years after admitting sexual offences against four victims, spanning almost three decades between 1995 and 2023. But during his sentencing, Deemster Cook noted that two of the offences would be classed as rape under new legislation, but as they were committed some time ago, they were categorised as indecent assault, which holds a much shorter sentence. The divide between old and new legislation often raises questions when it comes to sentencing. I sat down with Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Poole Wilson to try and make sense of it all.
Jane Poole Wilson, MHK, Minister for Justice and Home Affairs.
There's been kind of a very public outcry, I suppose, in the last week. We've heard from a number of constituents got in contact with Douglas South MHK, Sarah Maltby, with concerns basically around sentencing of child sex offenders primarily. And she sort of collated these emails and sent them to the Chief Minister, and we've seen his response. So understandably, it's caused quite widespread comment on it. I guess, first of all, what would your response be to the public who are raising these concerns?
I mean, I absolutely understand why people are concerned, because these are appalling crimes, deeply harmful. So I absolutely understand why people are concerned. I think what is always difficult for us as politicians is to be able to respond about why a sentence is what it is in any one individual case. Because, if you like, our role is to create the policy and the legislation. So we say we think certain things should be offences, and then we set in the law the maximum sentence that can be passed for that type of offence. But then in practice, then what happens is, if somebody is investigated and prosecuted for a particular offence, obviously that goes through our court system. And politicians, for good reason, don't get involved in individual cases. And so the judiciary here will ultimately pass sentence if someone is convicted. So I do understand that, and sometimes people may not know, and indeed, you know, it's difficult if you haven't sat through the entire case, people will not know all the facts and information that have led to a particular decision in a particular case. But what I would say is, it's important that the public have confidence in the way that we approach not only setting the law, but then how it's operated in practice.
Well, so you talk about sentencing there, and there's a point where politicians have to take a step back. So the department introduced the Sexual Offences and Obscene Publications Act 2021, obviously a couple of years ago, but it came into force in March last year. How does that law impact, though, the sentencing guidelines, I suppose, for the judiciary?
So I think it's a really important point that we did introduce or switch on, if you like, our modern sexual offences legislation in March 2024. And that legislation introduced a number of new offences. Offences that, I suppose, are older legislation. It just predated some of the types of offending that are available now and do happen. So there are specific offences in there around child image abuse, voyeurism, upskirting, revenge porn, offences that just weren't covered under our previous legislation. And the new legislation also sets some higher maximum sentences for certain offences, higher than the original law. However, one of the things that is the case is, we are seeing a number of what I would call historic reporting of offences, which is a good thing. So people are coming forward and raising their concerns about something that may have happened to them a little while ago. if the offending happened before the new law took effect in March 2024, then it is investigated and prosecuted under our previous legislation. And so what that can mean in practice is sometimes the types of things that people are now coming forward to the police about, if there wasn't a specific offence under the old law that covered it, that can be problematic. But also sometimes the sentence that might have been available might have been lower under the old law. So, for example, in 2024-25, across that year, we know that around 180 sexual offences began to be investigated by the police. And of those that began to be investigated, 97 were under the old law, and 83 could be brought forward under the new law. So what you will see in practice, and it may not always be clear, I guess, to members of the public, is you will see some cases still coming forward, being investigated and prosecuted, but under the previous legal framework.
So I suppose just to sort of clarify then, under the new legislation, oftentimes now, like I, for example, I've reported on court cases now, and I've been in, and it's a sexual offence, and so we cannot name the person accused of that crime because they're not convicted yet. That's like a sort of clause within that law, and I think maybe that causes a level of confusion because we're not naming them due to the newer act, but what you're saying is they might still be getting prosecuted under the previous act.
Yes, you're right, because the anonymity provisions under the new law, which apply to people who are facing trial or prosecution and to victims and witnesses, they apply to cases that happen since the new legislation is in place, even if what is being prosecuted is an older offence.
Okay, so then I suppose this is where maybe some of the miscommunication or confusion comes from the public versus the actual legislation, because I mean we're getting one of the things in the email that Mrs. Maltby shared with the Chief Minister is a call for a national inquiry into this sentencing, largely because people are saying that offenders aren't facing meaningful punishment. And like you say, it may be because it's a newer offence under new technology that wouldn't have been under a previous act. I suppose, how is the department going to tackle that sort of criticism going forward? Is there anything coming up that is trying to tackle that?
Yes, so I always said, the department said that after the new sexual offences legislation had been in for a period, probably around about 18 months, we would undertake a review to see if it's work, you know, what its impact has been, and to see whether we need to, you know, look at anything further. So we're going to commission a review. We're going to commission it by a barrister from off the Isle of Man. There are a number of aspects that we're interested to understand. One is in terms of, you know, people coming forward, the nature of offences being reported and the impact for all of the services involved that investigate and prosecute. But part of it is also, you know, how is the sentencing working? The other thing that we are going to do is we are about to come out for consultation on the Justice Reform Amendment Bill. Most of that actually is to do with making some other changes to our Justice Reform Act to help with how the criminal justice system operates in practice. But one thing that we are looking to try and introduce through that legislation is provision to create on the Isle of Man a sentencing council. And that we think will be important as a mechanism. So, you know, for any time politicians or members of the public are talking about, you know, have we got our sentencing in the right place for certain types of offence, it will be a mechanism that we can ask to consider what's being raised, to look at all the evidence, all the information, and then to make some recommendations about any changes we might make, or indeed provision of further sentencing guidance. Because going back to what the law says you can find someone or send someone to prison for a period of up to, let's say, 10 years, depending on the offence. The decisions in practice in every individual case have to be a matter for the judiciary, and we have to respect their independence. But that's not to say there can't be some further guidance or input or framework around how those decisions by the judiciary are made. And I think it's about making sure we've got the right structures, if you like, to make sure that we can put appropriate frameworks, guidelines in place that then the judiciary can use when they're making their independent sentencing decisions.
So then I suppose is that that's the department's response to the calls for a national inquiry is actually just, you know, we are looking into this and there are going to be things in place in the future that hopefully address the public's concerns.
Yeah, I think the independent review that we're commissioning anyway on this particular legislation, I think will be an important part of our understanding of how the law is operating. But also, I think more broadly, you know, people over time might have genuine questions about other types of criminal law and how it's operating. And that's why I think provision to be able to call on a sentencing council to look at any concerns, look into those, and then make any recommendations, I think would be an important tool for us to be able to address any issues, but also give people confidence as well, I hope.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.